Tonight, go into the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, verse number 1. We're not studying Revelation. I just want to bring a message here. What I want to try to do tonight in the Word of God is to find where you are and let you see where you are in the book of Revelation. Where you are. You can lay your finger on where you are. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus is in every page of your Bible. Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find Him. You may not be on every page, but you can find a lot of things that you used to be on a lot of pages. And you can find some places where you ought to be. Amen. And we may not find too many places that we really are. But a place in life, you can find where you are in the book of Revelation. It's the wind up of the thing. It's the last book God's given us, and it's a complete book. I don't care how many people said there's some more books that are lost. The lost books of the Bible, they say. And I've never interested myself in that. I've looked at what we've got. We've got a full canon. It's complete. And I believe God has preserved it just like we need it. Let's stand tonight and look at Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass." And they're certainly closer now than they were when it was written, weren't they? "And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Notice verse 3. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." You can be seated. Dear Father, tonight we pray that you might give us open understanding and wisdom from heaven. May we rightly divide the Word of God. May we find ourselves where we need to be. Lord, may we work to try to advance ourselves to get where we ought to be with you. We know in the long run and in the end, we can't do it ourselves. But if we don't have a desire to get there, you can't put us there either. And I pray tonight, God, that you'll put us where you'd have us to be for your glory and honor. We'll thank you for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Now suppose tonight that you turned on your 6 o'clock news and you turned it to CNN, NBC, ABC, any of them you wanted to. And the announcer said, "Abortion's down today. 3,992 died. Two down from yesterday, 3,994 deaths." Then they said, "The Pope agrees with homosexuality because he can't do anything about the priest molesting the altar boys. So he just makes it legal." Suppose it said deaths up by alcohol, a certain percentage. And we got nuts and crazy men and women running up down the road like zombies on drugs. You'd draw back and said, "What's going on? Have they rose from the dead? Have they crawled out of the hell holes of the world and come alive?" Unfortunately, they won't do that. If they did, they wouldn't be announcing but one time. That's how bad we are. And I want to look at something tonight, and I pray that God might help you to see where we really are. I'm going to get into the terrible things. Is like I used to do, I'm going to save that for another time. Not that I'm excusing it tonight. But I just want you to see what God said. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. And God has a plan for this church. God has it all worked out right here in this book. I can't get it all together sometimes, and neither can you. Sometimes I don't know where it fits in my life, and sometimes you don't know where it fits in your life, but if we'll just let God have it, He'll show up and show us. And that's what we need, isn't it? Now read with me, please, in verse number 3, and then I'm going to back up. And we're going to look and see where we really are. I've talked the book of Revelation several times, but there's some things tonight that we need to get a hold of. And I believe we need to go back and see the simple things and things that we have overlooked. Every time I look at it, I see something a little bit different and see how things are shaping up a little bit different than they did before. I want you to take verse number 3 and look at it with me. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth." Hear that? "Blessed is he that readeth." If you'll just take time to read it, God said, "I'll bless you." Amen. We'll walk by our Bible a few times, and sometimes we think that Bible reading is going to take a lot of our time, but I found out if I just go by it and pick it up and read a little bit, maybe a verse or two, and meditate on that a little bit, close my Bible back up and pick it up, and I don't do this for my Bible study, but I do this for my personal spiritual life. Pick it up again when I walk by it again after a while. Now some of y'all take it in, hide it, and you know where you put it. Amen. I have that problem sometimes. I got it in one room and next room and don't know where I was last time. Lay it down. But, amen. Some of you hide it when you get home. He said, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear." Not only read it, but hear it. "The words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." He opens chapter 1 with that. He closes the book of Revelation in chapter 22. Turn with me to verse 18, which is verse 18, 19, and 20 and 21 are the last four verses of that book. In verse 18 of chapter 22, he says, "For I testify unto every man that," here it is, "heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." I believe God's proud of this book. I believe He wants us to read it. I believe He wants us to hear it. Amen. "The words of the prophecy of this book," He said, "if any man shall add unto these things," it's in this book, "God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." And that scares me. I wouldn't want to add anything to God's Word. I thought about the time sometimes I thought it read this and read that, and I take my time and look at it, and I want to rightly divide the Word of truth. That's why I want you to pray for me every day. Verse 19 said, "And if any man shall take away," not only add to it, but take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Amen. And we won't get into that. Here's some teaching. Some people believe that God's going to take you out of the book of life and so forth like that. But when you're born again, you're born again. Some other things He can take from you. Amen. And I do believe that there's some people tonight have taken away and added to the Word of God, and not knowing they've done it, maybe in ignorance. And then on top of it, some of them may have done it. And I believe anybody that's ever added to it, taken away from it, is actually doing it in ignorance. They ain't got sense enough to know that God don't want that done. Amen. And some could be saved, some not. But I'm saying to you, and we won't get into that little part. But I want to turn back to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. The headings of some and most Bibles, not all of them, but it's set up there in the heading of it, not the verses, but in the heading of it, it says the Revelation. And it says it in my Bible, the revelation of St. John the Divine. And that's not right. And that's just the heading. The Scripture says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's right. The revealing of the Son of God, right? which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And the angel came to it. Now, in verses 1 through 3, you find tonight who Revelation is about. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about an individual or anything else other than the Lamb of God. And remember, we're going to find a lot of things in the book of Revelation, but the main character of the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ. Breaking it down in verses number 4, down through verse number 8, we'll not read it tonight, but we find the description of the central figure. John wrote 5 books. John, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. And this is the only book that he mentions his name. The rest of them, he don't have his name in them. They're headed at the top of the page where the translators put it. But he says here in verse 9, I, John. John in verse number 4. And then the Bible says, and the Lord's speaking about John, his servant, in verse number 1. So we know John's not the author, he's the writer. And he's revealing some things, and we find a description of that writer. I mean, not the writer, but of that figure, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 9 through 11, you find where and who wrote the book. Amen. Not the author, but wrote it. John, you find why he's up there. Why is he writing it? Because he's been put over there and cast out. You've got to remember this, and I'm giving you this as an introduction. You've got to remember that John is the beloved disciple. I'd like to love the Lord like John loved him. I'd like to have a first-hand communion with the Lord as John did. He's the only one that was there when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, standing down. He said, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. And he committed the care of his mother into the hand of John, the beloved disciple. And we find tonight that John is put there for a purpose. Main reason he's there is to get it, well, not the main reason, the main reason is to write the book of Revelation. But the world thought they was doing themselves a favor by putting him on the Isle of Patmos. And maybe John even thought probably, hey, what are they doing to me? Get me in. And he put him over there by himself in exile. And all of a sudden, this would be pretty good if you look at it. The Bible said in verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God began to speak to him, and he got filled with the power and presence of God, and he began to write. And he began to write about Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And you see that down through verse 11. When we get to verse 12, down through verse number 18, we find the power and the glory of the resurrected Christ. This is who we'll see when we get to glory. Can't hardly wait, myself. Praise God, getting better every day, isn't it? All right, everybody's, I've been talking to a lot of people this week, and they're really talking about the president. I mean, some of them just, they just kind of aggravate me. I mean, I say, hey, I'm holding out for what we've got. No, forget it. I don't even want to talk to them. Amen. Don't bust my bubble. Don't discourage me. Amen. It may wind up different than what I'm saying, but if it does, I'll catch up. I'll learn to live with it. Because I expect God to dump a load of grace on me. He's going to have to. But I'm telling you, I'm holding out. So I'm saying, and some folks are holding on, I'm holding out. Some of them doesn't give in and give out and give up. But we find the glorified Christ recognized in verses down through 18, and in verse 19 and 20, we find the reason for the book of Revelation. He says this, "Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." He wants us to know what's going to happen tomorrow or when this all is unfolded. If we just knew how close it was to the second coming of the Lord, we might not sleep tonight either. Amen. I pray tonight if you ain't ready to go, you'll start packing now. Amen. I believe it's close. He said, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Now, I'm going to have to hurry because I want to cover some ground. Quickly, I'm going to do that. That's chapter 1. I've preached on every verse of that and many of the words in those verses over a period of time and years. But chapter number 2, he begins to give the message. His message is to the churches. I said this Sunday, I believe it was, that the churches look and come into play and share with us what periods of time that we've had since the Lord ascended back up off the Mount of Olives. Amen. "Two men stood by in white apparel off the Mount of Olives and said, why stand you gazing into heaven, ye men of Galilee?" He told them, why stand you gazing, looking up into heaven? "This same Jesus that went away will come again in like manner as you seen him go into heaven." I somehow am crazy enough to believe that he parked his chariot of cloud, a cloud chariot over somewhere. And I believe it would be the same Jesus come back. And I'm crazy enough to think he's going to come back on the same cloud. You can believe what you want to. Amen. Don't bust my bubble on that either. Don't argue with me on it. If that's not right, I'll find that out. And you're not going to, if I'm wrong, you're not going to say, you may think you are, but you're not going to say, I didn't think it was that way. And I guarantee you this, if it is, you're probably not going to pay much attention to it too, neither, but I'm not going to look at you and say, I told you so. Things are different. But here he is, he's coming back. But in the midst, he's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which means he's walking in the midst of the churches. Seven churches in Asia, there are none of them there now. They're all gone, the ruins. But John writes us a whole lot. First of all, we'll just look at these right quickly. The Ephesus, or the church of Ephesus. The Ephesian church here. The church of Ephesus. We want to look at that just a minute. I'm not going to... I remember preaching on Ephesus, and I remember, I guess, about 6 or 7 messages I preached on Ephesus on a Wednesday night several years ago. But he said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now who's that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But he goes on down and he tells them, he said, I know this. Look at verse number 2. I know thy works and thy labors. I know what you do and I know how you work. I know what it is, and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And they are and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, that means bear up, hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. You've done good, you've worked, you've been toiling, and you hadn't fainted. But there's one thing I'm going to point out to you. He says, you left your first love in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I was listening to one preacher many years ago, and he said, well, he said that happened from the time of the churches that this is written until about 300 A.D. And I thought, you mean they got to where the church got to where it didn't lose its first love? I believe we're still there. I believe every one of these are in consecutive order, and I believe they get worse every time. Matter of fact, we'll see that if we stay with it enough tonight.
What's it mean to lose the first love? You know what happens to an individual when they first get saved? They want to tell their mama, they want to tell their daddy, they want to tell their cousin or uncle, they want to tell the family, they'll tell everybody they work with, tell the dog, tell the cat, tell everything. They're excited. I got born again, I got saved. And they're always wanting to go to church all the time, wanting to study the Word of God, digging out the book, and hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Bro, that's what it means. When you get saved, it's kind of like a honeymoon. Well, you can picture that with husbands and wives, too. I mean, you take a young boy and a young girl, and they meet each other, and boy, they fall in love, and he's out there tumbling over his feet and tripping over himself, trying to get the door unlocked, make sure she's in, make sure everything's all right. I mean, picking up everything so she won't trip and fall on it. And, he does all he can, because he loves her. She does the same thing. Why, she wants to fix his best food that he loves. She wants to do everything she can. Do everything for him because she loves him. And then after a while, one day she's out there trying to get in the car and he ain't opening the door no more. Amen. Something happened. Left his first love. You know what happens? I mean, now she's having to do the best she can and he's always the first one to get in the automobile honking the horn. And then when she comes out, gets in, he says, "What took you so long? You're the slowest thing I've ever seen." Left his first love. She does the same thing. She quit cooking his favorite foods. She got her little old pooch in her lap. And this is licking her in the lips all the time and petting it and all. He comes over and tries to put his arm around her. She said, "Leave me alone." She's lost her first love. Amen. It's funny, but that's exactly what's happened. And we somehow get cold and indifferent, and we don't love the Lord like we used to love Him. And when we love Him, don't love Him like we used to love Him, we don't read our Bible as much. We don't pray as much. We get cold. Oh, we still love the Lord, but we don't love Him like we used to. So that trickled on down. When you get down to the second church in Smyrna, he said, you got some fear about you. Look in verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." He said, what you've done, he said in verse 9, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." You're seeing this thing move down a little bit further, get more away from God. But in verse number 10, he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you," and this is persecution, "shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And there's a lot of sermons that we could preach right there. But we see that church has got a little colder and got further away than the church at Ephesus. Thirdly, we find the Pergamos church in verse 12. The Pergamos church, they had the doctrine of Balaam in verse 14. And they had those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And I'm not going to get into them tonight because we could preach a long time on them. I've done it. But we see that Pergamos was a doctrine of Balaam. And they had that. They was fighting heretics. And they were having people come in with bad doctrines and false doctrines, and churches ought to stand against that. Amen. That's why, let's share this with you just a little bit. Brother, you think about it tonight. We have a lot of things in our churches, rotten doctrines, and people just allow it. And they're seeming to get to there, Pergamos. Then down at Thyatira, there's allowing Jezebel to teach, and so forth. And you'll see that in verse number 20. She's a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants and commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And there's a lot of preaching in that. And down in verse number
24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. They were having problems with false doctrine. And then in chapter 3, you find the church of Sardis. Now, this is periods of time. Now, these are churches, and tells you the degree and the place. Have you found yourself yet in here? I hadn't. Amen. I ain't found me. I don't know about you. I believe I have done all these. I believe I've been slack in the work of God too many times. Don't mean to be, but we get there. You get complacent. But there's no reason for us to slack off and back off tonight. Now, we go a little further. Sardis. I'd hate to have a church by the name of Sardis. Sardis just means dead. Spirit's no longer in control in the Sardis church. You understand where I'm coming from tonight? The Spirit of God is not leading in most churches today. We're more interested in the recreation and the things of entertainment than we are in the Spirit of God. Amen. Churches have ended up buying and selling and all that sort of stuff. Now, I've been criticized for all this all down through the years. I despise to go to a meeting somewhere and the preacher's standing at the back of the door and he's got 15 books he's wrote, 5 books he's wrote, or 20 books he's got back there, and he's got a price tag on every single one of them. If there's anything that's disturbed me down through the years, is some of these preachers, they're a lot better. I'm intelligent, a lot more intelligent than I am on subjects. And they'll write them and they'll put a dollar bill on it. And they pay, and I thought about this, people do not pay when they're lost and don't know God. You have to give it to them. Well, we had a fellow come here not too long ago. We showed him a little booklet we had, and he's got a website called it Old Paths Ministries. And he said, would you take and let me have these books and put them on my website? And I could sell them for you, help you out. And I said, no, sir. They're not for sale. We give them away. I went to a church one night in a revival meeting. And I always like literature. I love to read. I've loved to read all my life. If you don't read, you don't know. And I still love to read. I'd catch myself in the classroom reading a library book, and the teacher would catch me. Didn't go good. But I like to read. I've self-educated myself in many, many things. And I'm not bragging tonight. It's just because I like to read. And you can get those. I went to that meeting, and this preacher preached, and I went back there, and he had his books there, and I'm looking at this, and I say, ooh, I'd like to have that book. Looked it up, $5. Oh, I'd love to have this book, $11. Oh, boy, I'd love to. And I picked up about 4 of them. I had about $20 in my pocket. Now, I needed it, but I was going to sacrifice that and try to get, and I was raising kids. And I looked at that and I said, I can't spend all that. Well, I'll put this in back. And I ended up buying one book. And I give him a $20 bill. I never will forget this. He pulled that bill full out. When he did, I never seen like a wad of money about that thick after he stretched it out. And I'm saying, I've never seen that much money in my bill fold in all my life. And he was doing well. And I'm not against people doing well. But I'm also against making merchandise of the things of God. That man had some good literature. He could have helped an old country preacher like me if I'd have had enough money to got it or if he'd have given it to me. Understand where I'm coming from? These singers come in and they put their records and their CDs and everything over there, and these preachers do the same thing, and they'll sell CDs and cassettes. Of course, the cassettes are out now, but they'll do all that stuff. They're hirelings. and say what you want to. That's why I wouldn't have singers here. Amen. We're not going to buy and pay for that. Amen. If you want to go buy your CD and play it, help yourself. But we're not going to use the church in the midst of it. But we're living in a time when churches can sell on the outside, sell their junk to try to support the churches, and that's not what God wants us to do. Let's stay away from that. But anyhow, Sardis, the Spirit of God had lost control. And they were running it on their own. I don't want to run this church on my own. And I don't want you to. We need to be directed by the Holy Ghost of God. Now, chapter 3, verse number 7, talks about another church, the Philadelphian church. And the Lord, all these other things are taking place, but one thing about the Philadelphian church, it had two things that was in its favor. It was faithful. And it was steadfast. Now, there may have been some in there that had committed some of these other things, but in contrast, it kept going. And it was steadfast. And it was faithful. And God was blessing it. And then that last one is the Laodicean church, which had need of nothing. We got churches now that's got CDs and budgets and they got more money than they'll ever spend in their life if they spend it every day. Gained it, and you couldn't get 20 cents to buy something for a missionary. And God's not pleased with that. He's not pleased with that. And I call it the sick church. Now, we're one of the two places there tonight. You're either in the Philadelphian church, trying to be steadfast and strong, and that's where I want to be, and that's where I believe I am. So I'm going to take my little finger tonight, and I'm going to put it over here on verse number 9, 10, and 11. And I'm going to say I'm sitting right there. And I don't want to go no further. I don't want to get down to that next church. Now, some folks have already got down to the Laodicean church. I found myself now. There, right? You say what I'm wondering. I'm glad. All right. Now, we've got that out of the way. Let me preach the message now. That's the introduction. Amen. We come to chapter 4. When we get to chapter 4, it's what we're calling and looking at. That's when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise. Chapter 4 of Revelation, in verse number 1, you'll find 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Lord's coming back to get us out of here, and the church is going out. Now, I'm a pre-tribulational preacher. I used to say I'm so pre that I don't even eat post-toasties. That's what I used to say. I'm so pre. Pre means before. Did you know what that means? That means the church is going out of here before the tribulation. I do know some facts tonight. I can't tell you when this is going to happen. Well, it's looking, it's pretty soon. I see all the signs. I can't tell you the day. If anybody ever tells you they know when Jesus is coming, there was a lady asked me yesterday. She said, "When do you think the rapture is going to take place?" I said, "Right on time." She said, "I didn't want a smart aleck answer." I said, "That ain't a smart aleck. That's the truth. Right on time. He ain't going to be late." And I'm waiting and listening for a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Somebody said the Baptist is going up first. You said, "How do you know?" Because the dead in Christ are going to go first. Amen. Well, we look at this tonight, and he said, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door." This is the rapture of the church when the Lord takes us in. And there's a lot of things I can't explain to you what I'm going to see and who I'm going to see. Somebody said, I'm going to see my mama, and I want to see my brother, and I want to see my sister, and I want to, you know. Well, I've always said, well, I believe you'll, I want to see Jesus first. But then I got to thinking, when the dead in Christ rise first, amen, we're going to go up together. We may see each other before we see Christ. We won't know what we
what relationship we had to them, but we're going to go up together. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight? Somehow my little mind goes to thinking about what would take place if we was in a service like this and trumpet sounded. Amen. Wouldn't it be good? Go right through the roof, through the ceiling.
Yeah.
You said it wouldn't happen. Oh, yeah, it would. My glasses fall off, amen. And all you see is what my clothes and everything else. I'm gone. Out of here. Gone. Can you just imagine that, leaving out together? Now, maybe some of you will see it, I guess. Amen. If you're not ready. If you're in this building, you're not saved. And the rapture took place. You'd have to say, bye. And it happened so quick, you said, what happened? Where'd they all go? Amen. I'm challenging you. You better get packed up and ready. I'm glad I'm going. You said, I don't believe all that. Well, hang around. You're from Missouri, God will show you. But we see at the end of chapter number 3 where the Lord is. Back up a minute. In chapter number 3, you find in verse number 20 where the Lord is at the end of the church age. Now also, before I say this, remember, every time you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you've got to figure out who it's speaking to. The Bible is speaking, and I've said this before, that one of the three entities, which is the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. He's speaking to the church here. These are the church people, because he's talking about the churches. This is not scripture to the Jew here, even unless they're saved. Saved Jews. You know what? If I was a Jew tonight, and I'd read the Word of God and found out there's a tribulation coming, and there is, I would try to get saved, I believe. That's the only way they're going to miss that tribulation. Get saved, and they get called out of here with the rapture. Jew or Gentile. But you go back to think about it just a moment as we look at here. The Lord is at verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Verse 20, he's standing at the door, knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord will save. He's on the outside of most churches today. The Laodicean church especially. He's wanting in. The Lord is missing in most churches. Now, when we get to chapter 4, we find, chapter 3, we find Christ's position is outside the church. But in chapter 4, we find the church has moved to the inside of glory. And you go down through there and find the 4 of the 20 elders and all of them. Chapter 4 is a shouting chapter. I love it. There's 4 created beings over there that go through heaven crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, day in and day out. I wouldn't to God I could get practiced up with that. Amen. I'd like to do it down here. And I'm not one of the 4 created beings, but I'm saying they're doing that. And I'm looking at that, and those all mean something. We're not at the end of that tonight. But we find in chapter 4, the church is in heaven. In chapter 5, we find the 7 seal book. And this will begin the portion of the tribulation. Time of Jacob's trouble. We know that's coming. We know it's coming. When? I don't know. Soon, I believe. I believe we're at the door. Amen. I've been a lot of preachers standing where I'm at tonight preaching and said, I believe I'm going to go by the way of the rapture, and they've been planted in the cemetery, and I may be another one. Goes like right along with it. But I believe in my day. That's how close I believe we are. I know we're closer now than we were yesterday. I know we're closer now than we were when we started tonight. You won't argue with that, will you? All right. Now we'll go on. And what happens in chapter 5? They look all over everywhere, can't find nobody to open that book or them seals. And when we get over into chapter 6, and that's where I want to look at.
in chapter 6. The Bible said in chapter 6 something's going to take place. You remember I read Sunday morning that they'll believe a lie and be damned, that God will bring them strong delusion. I want to explain that to you tonight. There's going to be some that are going to be left. Maybe some of your family, maybe some of my family. If they're not saved, they're going to be left. If they're of your family, probably. If they're of my family, probably. They've already heard the gospel. They've heard. I know most of my family, some of them still don't want to hear it, but I tell them every once in a while, Jesus died for you. Died on the cross of Calvary, rose again on the third day, and sitting at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for all the saints of God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I keep telling them that all the time. And you do too. So they've heard the gospel. And when the rapture takes place and we're called out, they won't get called out. Children get called out if they ain't reached the age of accountability. We'll go to heaven. Amen. If they're born, they'll go to heaven. Little boys and girls that ain't never reached the age of accountability. But just as soon as the rapture takes place, the saints of God out and the Spirit of God's moved, this world's going to turn so wicked. We talked about it Sunday. And you ain't seen nothing yet. And you won't see that if you're saved. But I read about it. We'll read about it. Then what's going to happen? There's going to be people born to those that are here that got left. Now, them children ain't going to, when they're born, here they are. They're going to grow up. You say, what about, well, I look at it as this. If they ain't born, they hadn't had the chance and they hear the gospel. If they're born and they hadn't reached the age of accountability, they'd get called out of here. But the rest of them are going to hear the gospel through those others. But, they can turn and come back to Christ, come to Christ. 144,000 is going to be introduced there. We look at it, and it's kind of amazing how this is. When you look at chapter 6, and chapter 7, and get on down, you're going to find some things here. And when you find that seventh seal opened up, and you're going to find what takes place, the seventh seal, and I preached on this sometime or another. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. I used to tell everybody that's because there's no women in heaven. If there's women there, there wouldn't be no silence. But I was just kind of cutting up. And God showed me one time what this is. I thought they're seeing this when that seal is opened up. It's going to be so humongous and so full of judgment and so full of the awesomeness of God that it takes their breath in heaven. Because God's fixing to pass judgment on the earth even more. Now when you read chapter number 6 and come on down through chapter number 7, that includes the whole tribulation period. If you don't see this completely tonight, you're going to mess up. You're going to think, well, the end of tribulation is way over here. Well, it is. But Revelation goes back and pulls it up again and goes back. God gives you another look at it. I like never figured that out a long time ago. But when you find these seven seals, they're going to be opened within the 7-year tribulation period. In verse number 1 of chapter number 6, it said, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Who's opening it? The Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. When you hear thunder, what do you think about? Storm coming. This seal is going to open, and it's going to open with the noise of the thunder. Means there's a storm on the way. And I believe it's going to happen pretty quickly after the rapture of the church. How do you know? Well, just stay with me. Amen. We may not have time to cover it, but we're going to work on it for a little bit. We're going to work about these seals. I may have to take them Wednesday night next week and finish it or work some more on them. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And they said that out after every one of them. Come and see, come and see, come and see. Gaze upon this. Verse number 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now some folks strangely preach tonight that that white horse is the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not. He don't show up to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. He's coming back on a white horse. Why is a white horse here? White kind of goes along with peace, tranquility. This writer comes out, this is somebody going to write out on the time. Everybody's trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. Somebody told me the other day Trump was. And somebody 2 or 3 days ago told me Biden was. And strangely enough, somebody said they believe it's going to be Kamala Harris. And I said, can't be. Going to be a man. And I'm telling you, and I'm not sitting here trying to tell you who it is, because I don't know. And I've met somebody years ago said it's Henry Kissinger. They went by the number of the names and so forth. And then they said it was one of the other great presidents we had. What was his name? Reagan. Yeah, they said it was Reagan. And then they come on that. One of them said it's Obama. And they said that every time somebody comes out. And I don't put no stake in any of that. You don't know. You don't know when the Lord's coming, and you don't know when and who the Antichrist is. But I will tell you this, just as soon as the rapture takes place, the devil has got everything in his control. And brother, I'll tell you right now, he's wrapped up in it pretty good now. Swamp's pretty deep. Stinky, bad. Filthy. And the devil's sitting back in the shadows, can't hardly wait to get his hands on. He knows he's got that power coming. He's read more Bible than you have. And he knows he don't have much time. And he knows he's going to be defeated, but he's going to get that glory while he can. All right. This white horse rider coming out is going to have a bow. But it don't say nothing about no arrows. He don't have no bow. Don't have no arrows. He has a bow. And even if he had arrows, they're not as dangerous as amen, a sword. So for some period of time, somebody said, how long is that going to last? According to Daniel, it's going to last 3.5 years. Which is half of the 7-year tribulation. And then it's going to speed up. Now, this false peace, and it may not last that long. I'm just saying, according to what I read, that he's going to break that covenant in the midst of the week. In Daniel. Let me read it to you. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." That's 7 years. "And in the midst of this of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." You see where I'm coming from, where it's at? And then the next horse rides out, and it's going to be pretty fast. The next horse rides out, it's going to be the red horse. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red." Red stands for blood. "And power was given to him that sat thereon to take" what? "Peace from the earth." That means there was peace. "And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." So there was no killing going on much. To mount anything, it was a kind of peace, but it was a false peace. And if it may not last 3.5 years, but I'm just taking that from Daniel.
But when the white horse rides out, then the red horse rides out and peace is taken. And then right behind the red horse, and I believe these will be pretty consecutive. And when he had opened the third seal in verse 5, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And so you're going to find famine. And it's going to be famine in the tribulation. Now, John has given us a little thing to think about, and this is during the whole course. Now, there's a lot more things going to happen during all this. But when the red horse rides out, verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. That's going to be the things that they keep. Amen. They want that oil and the wine. And I wouldn't doubt if that ain't the petroleum we use and the wine to get drunk on. They seem to have all that, don't they? And stay with it. Alcohol is here to stay. Verse 7 said, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I'd like to stay with these, but I'm not going to now. I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part. The fourth part, not of Jerusalem, fourth part of the earth. That's a lot of territory, is it not? You think a pandemic has really got us down? You think about what happens. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now, if you read that correctly, you're going to find it's a terrible time. If I wasn't saved tonight and read that, I'd want to be crawling to the altar tonight just to stay out of it. That's coming. Somebody said, that ain't going to happen. Everybody worrying about climate change, and they're going to try their best to get all that twisted around. They don't see what God shows us. I'm going to skip the one in verse 9. You're going to see when he opens that fifth seal, it's the altars, the souls on the altar that were slain. So there's some persecution going on there. And they're going to cry, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doth you not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And we could talk about them for a minute, but I want you to look at verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. This is consecutive, and this is in the last half of the tribulation period. He said, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Preacher, you actually believe that? Absolutely. Has God ever caused the sun to refuse to shine? Huh? He did for Joshua, wasn't it? Stopped the sun. Amen. Stopped it. I don't know if he did cause it not to shine or not, but he stopped it. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And God already showed you he can do that. What's an eclipse? But God can turn the power off on it. You can turn the light out tonight and it'd be dark in here. God can turn the sun out just that quick. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I believe that's going to happen. I read it in Zechariah. I read it further in the book of Revelation. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Can you imagine that? That's got to be some fear, isn't it? Fear. Fear. They're laughing at God, shaking their fists in His face tonight, making fun of Him, despising the Bible, hate you and me, despise the church, trample the blood of Christ on. But one of these days,
God's going to turn the table and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And I believe there'll be a time later on you'll find in there that they want to die and can't die. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's those seals. God's going to try to... Now God's dealing with a Jew here. He's fixing to deal tremendously with the Jew with these seals. And the rest of the world too as well. Gentile and Jew. But He's to bring the Jew back into place. Bring him back in to where God wanted him to start with. You know why? Because God promised him he's going to give him an earth to dwell in. The Jew is an earthly people with an earthly promise. Church is a heavenly people with a heavenly promise. He's going to give us a new Jerusalem in heaven, new heaven and new earth, but the Jews are going to have the earth. He told Abraham, look at all that. That's going to be yours for it now and your seed forever. And they hadn't had it since. Hadn't had it even at all, but they're going to get it. Amen. Thank God. All right. Just wanted to share that with you. Told you I wasn't in no hurry. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We got the framework laid for the rest of the dealing with this stuff. And I pray that God might help us. Please don't forget what I told you tonight. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.